when I think of how he came so far from glory, came to dwell among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace. On Mount Calvary, take my place. It's then I ask myself this question: who am I?
Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray not my will and for? The answer I may never know.
Reminded of his words, I'll leave thee never. Just be true, I'll give to you a life forever. I wonder what I could have done to deserve God's only Son. My battles till they're won. Oh, who am I?
Who am I that a king would lead and die for? Who am I that he would pray not my will and for? The answer
We're so pleased tonight to have as our first speaker Dr. Matt Gerald from the Open Door Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas. Brother Gerald served in the Special Operations Task Force in the Army. He was saved while he was in the Army. He jumped out of planes. That'll cause somebody to think about where they're going to spend eternity, won't it? Would me. But nevertheless, he trusted Christ as Savior, and God called him to preach, and he pastored up in Pennsylvania for a number of years, and now then he's here in our area. And we're so grateful for the God sending him to the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We have such a burden for our area to see old-fashioned revival come to our fundamental churches, and it's going to take God sending men like Brother Matt Gerald to pastor some of the churches in our area if we're going to see the turnaround take place with those that are being produced here and those that are making a commitment to old-fashioned fundamentalism and those that God's bringing into this area. We're beginning to see a difference. We're beginning to see an impact. And we look forward to that day when on throughout the cities, you can easily find old-fashioned, soul-winning, separated, fundamental, Bible-believing, missionary, Baptist churches. And we want you to hear and welcome our friend, Dr. Matt Jarrell. Now, this guy is serious at times, but when he's not serious, he's a nut. He's a nut. Any man that would come over here, you didn't hear this morning. We went fishing a couple of weeks ago on a Monday, two Mondays ago, myself and some other preachers, and we met here at the church at 6:15. He come rolling in his big old Ford diesel pickup and got out of that pickup, and so help me goodness, he had on hot pink women's shorts. He said he got them from you. Man, you talk about stepping back. I stepped back. And I said, I'm not getting in that car with that. He went to all that trouble just to pull a prank on me, pick at me. Well, you know what I think about it? I loved it. I loved it. Brother Gerald, thank you for coming and being here. Thank you for preaching. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, preacher. Well, the truth is, fellas, the guys I were with, they were lusting after my legs, so I had to put my long pants back on. I called Brother Ogden and let him know about it ahead of time. I said, Brother Ogden, here's what I'm going to do. And Brother Ogden said, can I get in on it? I told him what I was doing. He said, you're on your own, son. It's good to be with you. Thank you, preacher, for allowing me to be here tonight. I count it an honor and a privilege to be in this pulpit again. Blessed I am to pastor a church across town from Trinity Baptist Church and Dr. Smith, a great man of God, a great leader, and I appreciate him and love him. And I don't just say that. You guys know me well enough. I don't believe stuff. I don't say stuff. But I believe in Dr. Smith and the other area pastors, Brother Ogden, Brother Suggs, and Brother Howell, and all these good men. I thank God that we get along, and we're a team. And I thank God for these good men. And it's an honor to be here with Dr. Buchanan. I got one of my dearest friends in life is Bobby Buchanan Jr., and I love Brother Bobby with all my heart. He's got a great heritage, got a great family. I'm privileged to be here tonight with Dr. Buchanan. If you'd take your Bible, go to 2 Samuel, chapter number 23. I'll try not to keep you long. I mean that. I know many of you folks have labored all week. You're tired. And not only did you come to church tonight, you were here last night. And I know you're tired, so I want to be as brief as possible. And so 2 Samuel, chapter 23. Let's stand and honor the Word of God. 2 Samuel, chapter number 23. For the sake of time, let's read just two verses there. Verse number 11, if you would, please. 2 Samuel, chapter 23. And after him was Shamal. I want to preach on Shamal tonight. And after him was Shamal, the son of Agee. The son of Agee, I want to preach on his name tonight. I'll get to that in a moment. The Bible says the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And lentils, if I did my study right, I believe it's a pea patch, if you would. And the Bible says the people fled from the Philistines. But he, Shamal, stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. And slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. I want to preach this message tonight, a fat man in a pea patch. A fat man in a pea patch. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, I come to thee, and I need you tonight, Father. Lord, I've asked you all day, I've asked you all week, Father, for this night. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you'd fill me and flow through me, Father, please. Father, I pray for the services over Garland at Miller Road tonight as they're having service right now as we speak. I pray anointing power upon that place. Father, bless now, I pray, the service here. Please, Holy Spirit of God, we need your help. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're excited, and And we're excited. We had been battling for about 6 weeks about starting a church in Allen, Texas. And God, just this week, we had a special prayer meeting on Sunday evening. And God, just this week, opened the door. And we just got our first, we got a building secured. And so we start June the 3rd, if you'd pray for that. The anointing power of God to start that church. No Fundamental Independent Baptist Church in Allen, Texas, 76,509 people there. They need a lighthouse. And we're calling the church Maranatha Baptist Church. The Lord is coming soon, Maranatha, so pray for that. And we appreciate that. All right, that's enough said there. You heard about the man that came out of the barroom one night. He was very drunk. And he was stumbling to his car, and he came over on this lady was standing there. She was a nun. She's passing out literature. And that man, that drunk, looked at that nun, and he walked over to her, and he took her and by the hair of the head, and he began to throw her down and beating her half to death and jumping all over. I mean, just whipped her up good. After he got done, he stood up and he said, "You're not so bad tonight, are you, Batman?" And walked and got in his car. Let's make sure we hit the right person tonight. Amen. Let me say this tonight. I am on your side. We're a team tonight. And we're not going after anybody in this room. But we are going after some liberals tonight. The fat man in a pea patch. In our text, Israel is at war with the Philistines. You know, beloved, the Philistines is a picture of the world. And this evening, I want us to notice this one man in the battle with the Philistines. Now, let me say this, beloved. God has always used common folks to get his job done. Elisha was just a simple farmer. Peter was just a simple fisherman. David was a shepherd. Daniel was a statesman. Paul was a tent maker. Listen, what and who God uses, the world calls foolish. But let me remind you of 1 Corinthians 1:27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the weak. Hey, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that perish. The world thinks education, strength, and popularity is the answer. But beloved, I want us to look at this man in our text in verse number 11. The Bible says, and after him was Shamah. The word Shamah, as we begin to study this, his word means, watch this, church, it means plump, fat, surplus. That's where I get my fat man at. Shamah might have not known of Jane Fonda's exercising course, but he had God on him. He didn't hear about Dr. Atkinson's diet, but he had God on him. Let me say this, beloved, if we're more concerned with the power than the pounds, we just might have revival. If we were as word conscious as we are weight conscious, we might have revival tonight. And this person was fat. Look at verse number 11. I like fat people. The Bible says, he that trusted the Lord shall be made fat. You skinny people get on my nerves. I didn't preach that 10 years ago when I came into ministry. Had to wait till I get over 300 pounds to preach that. Amen. Look at verse 11 again, beloved. Shamah, the son of Agee. The word Agee, I studied that, the son of Agee, the family name. It was an unknown, poor family. He didn't know about investments. He didn't know about interest rates, the inflation, the stock markets. But he was not interested in money, but rather in men. So get the picture. Here's this person, he's plump, he's fat, he's poor. Now notice the next word there in verse 11. The Hararite. You know what that word Hararite means? I like this. Get this, church. Means hillbilly. It means mountaineer. Get the picture. Here's this big, fat hillbilly. He might have looked like Junior Samples with overalls. I don't know. But get the picture. Here's this big fat hillbilly coming over the hill and saying, "Where's them far Philistines?" Now don't laugh. He had God on him. It's better than some sissy preacher jogging up in some shorts saying, "Where's the strategic location of our adversary?" I like what Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said. He said, "I'd rather hear a man say, 'I seen,' that had seen something, than a man say, 'I saw,' and has not seen anything." Beloved, I'm for education. I thank God for you preacher boys who are graduating tomorrow night. But let me say this, it's more than education. It's more than ethnical background, your environment. It's about getting God upon your life and getting God upon your ministry. We looked at the person of our text, but look at verse number 11. He said this, "And the Philistines were gathered together in a troop." Not only the person of the text, look at the problem of the text. The Philistines were gathered together in a troop. Now that's discouraging. That's intimidating. One poor fat hillbilly standing against a whole troop. Now what is a troop? A troop is a cavalry of men on horseback. It just got a lot worse, didn't it? Can you imagine? He's out there in his pea patch. He's standing there, and all of a sudden, here come the Philistines. Now, I don't know about you. It would have been easier for Shamar to take off running. Boy, he had justification. He was only one man against the whole troop. But he said, "Bless God, I'm going to stand my ground." In 2007, beloved, Christians are being intimidated, and TV mocks us, and the news media hates our very being. The world portrays us as schizos. Sinners look at us as morons, the way we dress. Everywhere, even the religious crowd is trying to intimidate us to change the way we think, to compromise the way we believe with our Bible doctrine, that conform to the world with our dress standards. I like what Jesus said, "Fear not. It's my Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom." Hey, we're on to something big. I like what verse 11, he goes on, he says, they were gathered together in troops. So you got this, get this picture. Here's a fat man going against a troop. For what? Verse 11, where was a piece of ground full of lentils or a pea patch. Let me say this, beloved. Hear me and hear me well. Listen to me. The Philistines didn't care about that pea patch. They were just going to ride through that pea patch and destroy it. But Shamash said, "You're not going to come through here because this is not my pea patch, but this is the Lord's pea patch." Shamash said, "I can't sit back and watch you destroy something that the king has given to me." And so here's this fat man in a pea patch standing there. And he said, "Boy, you're not coming through here." Look at verse number 12 again. And he said, "But he stood." Boy, I could preach on that tonight. As Christians, we ought to take a stand. I don't care what everyone else is doing. I don't care what the world's dressing like. I don't care how high the slits are going on dresses on women. Hey, there ought to be some modesty, and you ought to stand for what's right. Stood. I like that. One man standing against a troop. Look what he said, verse 12. "And he defended it." Defend means to shield. Shamash said, "I'm not going to sit back and let the world trample on what the king has given me. I'm going to stand against it. And I'm going to defend what God's given me." But I like this part too. Look at here. "And he slew the Philistines." Shamash stood, he defended, and he went on attack. Let me say a couple things tonight. My king has given me. Now let me say this, beloved. The King of Kings has given you the same. We all have the same Father in heaven, have the same Savior. And some things that the Lord's given me, my king has given me. Now I'm not much tonight. But you're looking at another hillbilly that's kind of pumped himself. It's not going to sit back and let the world trample over what the king has given me. I want to give you a couple things tonight, and I'll get out of the way. Number one, my Bible. My Bible. The Bible says in Psalms 119 and verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. You know the reason liberal churches are doing away with the word of God? Because it exposes sin. Listen, I get a little testy with this comment. Well, we're King James only. Let me say this, beloved. I'm not King James only. I'm only King James. I'm not King James only for convenience, beloved, but I've cut the word of God from the King, and I'm going to stand for it, and I'm going to defend it, and I'm going to fight for it. Hey, this book has been given throughout generations, and I'm not just going to say I'm King James only. I'm only King James. There's no other option. 1611, most of the translators, there's 54 of them, 47 of them, probably the only ones translated the Bible. Out of the 47 that translated the Word of God, all 47 on average spoke 7 different languages. Go down to the Southern Baptist University across town. The Greek scholars can't even speak Greek. They want to write it off like we're unintelligent. Now, I may not know all the dates and facts, but you look at me. I know the King has given me the blessed book that I hold within my hand, and I'm not about to say, hey, let's just go to another version. Go ahead and tack it. You got a fight on your hand. I'd like to ask a question to the liberals tonight. Since you do not profess to have a perfect Bible, listen to this, church. Why do you refer to it as God's Word? Let me ask you another question to liberals. We say there's one true God, yet many false gods, small g. We say that there's one true church, yet there's many false churches. Why can't there be one Bible and many false Bibles? Everybody's running to and fro. They're trying to attack the eternal Word of God. Bible says every word of God is pure. Hey, that book's worth fighting for. King James Bible produces good fruit. Write this reference down. We don't have time to go to it. Matthew chapter 7, verses 17 through 20. The King James Bible always has produced good fruit. And let me say this. No new version of the Bible has ever produced good fruit. It produces more sinful lives. Hey, it produces more ungodly people in their churches. Hey, I'm going to tell you what that book does. That book produces good fruit. Last night we were preaching. I was preaching last night. I got done preaching and I walked down and this man grabbed me. People from Open Door remember last night. Man, he grabbed me. This man grabbed me, 26-year-old man grabbed me in my church and he's shaking. He's shaking uncontrollably. He said, preacher. And this is a man that teaches in our church. This is a man that preaches in our church, during your church. He said, preacher, I need to get saved. I said, glory to God, brother, you know what to do. You've been leading little boys and little girls to Christ for months and months and months. We knelt down. He got wonderfully saved. Called the church back in. We've got to have a baptism. Hey, I'll tell you what. That's what the book does. That's what the powerful Word of God does. And you're looking at one fat old hillbilly going to take a stand. Now, let me ask you a question. Let me give this another thought. Why do liberals always compare false versions to the King James Bible? Why don't you compare the NIV with the New King James? Why do you always have to compare it to the King James Bible? You know why? Take your Bible. Let me give you the answer to that. Go to Matthew chapter 12. Go to Matthew chapter. Hold your finger there in 2 Samuel. Go to Matthew chapter 12. Let me give you the answer. Well, let me let the Lord give you the answer there. Matthew chapter 12. Very quickly, Bali Bali Jiseo, Matthew chapter 12, that's speaking in tongues. Means hurry up in Korean. Don't get scared. Don't run out the door. Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 26, the Bible says, and if Satan cast out Satan, you remember the question I asked? You remember the question I just asked you? Hey, why don't the NIV attack the American Standard Version? Verse 26, and if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. And how shall then his kingdom stand? Over 5,300 pieces of manuscript evidence. Get this, church. 95% of them support the King James Bible. Only 5% support the new versions. And they come from Westcott and Hort. Westcott was a Mary worshiper. Wasn't even saved. Hort refused to believe in the Trinity. Westcott, get this, was a spokesman for a beer brewery. Say what you want, beloved. I will stick with the old King James. You say, hey, listen to me, church. I might not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but you hear me, and you hear me well. I'm King James. Why? Because my king give it to me. While you're there in the New Testament, look at John 17, and I'll move on. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Look down to verse number, John chapter 17. Look at John 17 and verse number 14. John 17, 14. This is why I'm going to stand. This is why I'm going to defend it. This is why I'm going to fight for it. Verse 14, I have given them thy word. Who's this speaking? Jesus. Who's he talking to? God the Father. He said, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Well, I'll tell you what, that book divides. I'm blessed God, I'm a King James man. You're a King James people. We're all King James here. Let's just make up our mind that we're going to stand and we're going to defend it and we're going to fight for it. I've got to hurry. Look at, if you would, go back to 2 Samuel. I'm sorry, go to Exodus for the sake of time. The Bible. Boy, she's worth fighting for. Go to Exodus, if you would, please. And I'll show you another thing I think is worth fighting for tonight is the blood of Jesus Christ. Exodus chapter 12, if you would please. You know Exodus chapter number 11. God is ready to send the final plague. He's getting ready to send the death of the firstborn son. And Exodus chapter number 12 is what we call the Passover is instituted. It's where God has placed the blood on the doorpost that God's death angel would pass over the household. Now look at verse number 2 of chapter 12. This month shall it be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. I thank God that when I got saved, it was a first month. I thank God that God forgive me for everything I've ever done. In spite of where I've been, in spite of what I've done, God give me a new beginning. That's what the blood's all about. Look at verse number, if you would, verse 4. And if the household be too little, circle that word there. Little. Now, church member, look at me. You never get too big for Jesus. Never do we get too big for Jesus. Don't ever get to where you got over the day that the Lamb of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, died on the cross for your sins. Don't get over it too big for him. He said in verse number 4, if the household be too little for the Lamb, let him, watch this, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of souls. How many of you think Jesus too big for your household? How many of you take him to your neighbor? You say, no, preacher, I haven't. Well, I think you might think that you're too big. carry them to your neighbor. That's not what I wanted. That was just there. Look at verse number 3. Speaking of all the congregation of Israel, saying in the 10th day of the month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers. Now notice this, a lamb. A lamb. Look at verse number 4. And the household be too little for, what's the next word? The lamb. You see the progression? Look at, hey, there was a day in my life that, hey, Jesus Christ was a lamb. But I realized when I went to church and I heard Jack Hiles preach on Judas Iscariot, I realized for the first time in my life that he was the lamb. But that wasn't good enough. Look at verse number 5, your lamb. I thank God that the progression went on. He was a lamb. He became the lamb. And thank Jesus, he became my lamb that took away the sins of my life. Hey, thank God that Jesus Christ shed his life on Calvary for my sins. God told the people here, take the blood of the lamb, the blood of the lamb, and apply it to the doorpost. Ask you a question tonight, I'll be finished. Where would you be without the blood? Let me give you a few points about the blood. The earthly body here, every person in this room, has approximately 5 quarts of blood in your body right now. The blood here that we talked about tonight, I don't have time to go through all the references, but see me and I'll give you the outline. The blood, watch this, number one, has a carrying ministry in your body. The average body contains about 5 quarts of blood, and approximately in our body there's 5 to 7 million red blood cells per cubic millimeter in your body. Every 23 seconds, the blood takes a complete cycle through your body. And you think we just evolved. While it's going through our body, the blood, every 23 seconds, it combustion takes place. It warms our body. As you grow older, the blood slows down a little bit. That's why the body gets a little bit colder as you get older. The blood passes through the lungs and gets oxygen and carries that oxygen to all the organs of our body. And then the blood stops by and carries the food throughout the body. It has a carrying ministry. Without the blood in your body, you would die. Now, the blood of Jesus also has a carrying ministry. More so than every 23 seconds, every second, the blood of Calvary has carried life to us. Without the blood of Jesus, we'd be on our way to hell right this second. Every second, the blood's there. The blood has a carrying ministry. Move on very quickly. The blood also has a cleansing ministry in your body. Every 23 seconds it goes through our bodies and carries oxygen and nutrients to our body. Then the blood picks up the toxins that are in my body. You know, when you eat something, there's always toxins in the food that you eat. How do you know that there's something's bad for you to eat? If it tastes good, it's probably bad for you. Spit it out. But I've tried snorting barley grain, smoking it, and drinking it. And that stuff's trash. I'll just die young. Amen. I felt like dropping my Burger King today and getting me 10 big Whoppers because of all that junk going on in D.C. Our body produces enough poisons to kill us. Never 23 seconds, the blood goes through our body to cleanse us. You know, when I got saved, I was wicked. I deserve more than anybody in this room to go to hell. And after I got saved, I carried some baggage into salvation. I wish I could say the day I got saved, I was perfect.
I wish I could say the day that I trusted Christ, all the things of my life in the past had went away. But it didn't. It's still there to this day. And I cling to 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hey, I thank God that the blood of Jesus is still cleaning me up, still cleanses me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The brain in our body is about the size of your fist. Unless you're a blonde, it's about the size of your... No, I'm just kidding. The brain's about the size of your fist, and it weighs, get this now, 2.5 pounds. And on the, if you take your hand, gentlemen, and look upside down, you'll see, if you're a man, you'll see a bunch of hair there. And you'll picture your brain, and those hairs on the end of your, those hairs on the end of that hand representing nerve endings. On the brain, get this now, there are 10 trillion nerve endings. Not one of those nerve endings touch each other. But the blood reaches every one of them. The blood of Jesus reaches every person, every sin that you've committed, every situation. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. It has a cleansing ministry. Hey, isn't it worth fighting for? Isn't it worth being a fat man in a pea patch saying, hey, you're not taking my book. You're not taking the blood of Christ. Very lastly, look at, also go to Revelation if you would, please. Not only does the blood have a carrying ministry, a cleansing ministry, has a combating ministry. Revelation chapter 12, if you would, please, and then look up here. The red blood cells, remember when I said there's 5 to 7 million per cubic millimeter in your body? We also have white blood cells in our body. The white blood cells are much larger in size, and there's 3 to 5,000 every cubic per millimeter. And when my body gets hurt, my brain sends a signal. And these white blood cells, they go and combat the infected area on my body. Not to be disgusting, but when I get cut, you ever been cut? And all of a sudden, while that blood's still there, you see that white pus stuff there? You know what that is? That's the white blood cells coming and combating a disease or an infection that would hurt your body. Can you imagine if you did not have the white blood cells in your body, cleansing your body and combating in your body and fighting for your very being, you'd die. Let me show you Revelation chapter 12 if you wouldn't. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says the accuser of the brethren, he's before God day and night. How many of you could stand before God in your own merit today? Not one of us. The Bible says Satan himself is right before the throne of God. In verse number 10, he's accusing you. He's telling everybody, Jonathan, come here, please. Right quick, hurry. Jonathan comes in. He comes up here and, Jonathan, did you sin today?
Yes, sir.
Tell us what you did.
You first.
I put my arm around you. All right, you sin today, okay? Jonathan's a sinner. I'm a sinner. We're both sinners. Jonathan, you looked at a woman today and you lusted. Now, he didn't do that. I'm just making this up. Hope you didn't look at a man and lust today. And he's looking over here and he's looking at this woman and he makes a mistake. Now, don't look a high church. You're not an ecumenical church on me tonight. He looks at a woman, he lusts, and you know what Satan does? He's before the throne of God saying, God, you see that Jonathan down there? And he's going to graduate tomorrow from Bible college.
What a wicked sinner, God.
Here's Jonathan. Maybe he told a lie today, or maybe he did something wicked.
Satan sees that. He's not before God making accusations that are false. He's telling God the truth. We are sinners at the very best. And Satan's before Almighty God saying, look how bad he is. But I like what he says in verse 11. And the Bible says in verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. You see what Jesus has done? Hey, you better believe it. You better believe it that the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven and Satan's there accusing Jonathan, and Jesus steps foot in front of Satan. He says, it's been covered. I've already combated that form. It's already taken care of. Now go back to where you belong. Thank you, Jonathan. Boy, I tell you, it's worth fighting for. The blood of Jesus. I've got several other points. I think I'm done. I'll tell you another thing that's worth fighting for. The bride. The local church. The bride of Christ. Boy, be Trinity Baptist Church, be proud of your church. Be proud of her. Lakeland Baptist Church, be proud of your church. Boy, I'll tell you what, just something about the church. You got to fight for her. Be proud for her. Stand up for her. You can't stand up for your church unless you stand up for your pastor. You said, but Brother Jerry, you don't know my preacher. He's a wild man. I know he tried to rub my legs. Stand up for your church. You heard about the man that got stranded on the island. He was on the island, and several years later, a rescue team came in, looked on the island. They saw three huts. They got on the island. The man came out. I said, sir, where's all the people? He said, I'm the only one on the island. He said, no, there's got to be more than you. He said, no, I've been here for years and years. I'm the only one on the island. He said, man, what's the three huts? He said, well, that's my home right there. He said, that hut right there, the second hut's my church. People said, oh, what's the third hut for? He said, that's the church I went to when I got mad at the first church. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something. I believe every church is worth fighting for. You hear me and hear me well. The bride is worth fighting for. You say, but my preacher's pretty rough. I read this article about Billy Graham. He bragging on how to preach to 79 different denominations, and they wrote an article that no one got offended. Man, I can't even preach to 79 Baptists without someone getting offended. Look at me, church, and I'm done. I promise you. I've said that 10 times. But usually I like the 12 tribes. I say it 12 times, and I really mean it. Stand for the pea pasture God's given you. Stand for the book. Stand for the blood. Stand for the bride. Stand for the blessed hope. Father in heaven, bless these good people. Father, I pray that you bless Dr. Buchanan as he comes. Fill him the Spirit of God. Give us something we need tonight through that good man of God. In Jesus' name, amen.